Conyers entered the House of Representatives in 1964. It was the peak of the civil rights movement, and racial tensions ran high. That same year in Mississippi, two black teenagers, Henry D. and Charles Moore, disappeared. Their bodies were discovered weeks later, dumped in a channel of the Mississippi River. Late yesterday, reputed Klansman James Ford Seal was convicted of kidnapping and conspiracy in connection with their deaths. For more on the case, we've got Emily Wagster-Pettis, a reporter for the Associated Press. Welcome.
Thank you.
So Seal was convicted of kidnapping and conspiracy. Why wasn't he charged with murder?
Actually, I'm not sure that the prosecutors maybe didn't try to get a murder charge brought before the grand jury, but this is what they were able to get. And they did say in their closing arguments that there's no statute of limitations on kidnapping that results in somebody's death.
So can you describe the atmosphere in the courtroom and who was there?
It was an interesting time in the courtroom. There were about half dozen members of Mr. Seal's family who sat behind him on one side, and there were a couple of dozen siblings and cousins and other relatives of the victims who sat on the other side, and there was very little interaction between the two groups. Let me tell you something about the courtroom where they had the trial. This is something that I think might have been lost on a lot of people, but in this courtroom, there's a velvet curtain across the top of the front behind the judge, and that curtain covers up a 1938 Works Progress Administration mural that is essentially an allegory of white supremacy. You have sort of the protector figure of the white man in the center, and you have black people picking cotton and one of them playing a banjo. Now, this has been covered up by order of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals since the late 70s or early 80s. And a lot of people don't actually know what's up behind that curtain, but it's just sort of an interesting quirk of history that this mural is still there, and it's now in a courtroom where the chief judge for the Southern District of Mississippi, Judge Wingate, is, of course, African-American, and he's presiding in this courtroom. Judge Henry Wingate is a native of Jackson, grew up here, went to undergraduate school at Grinnell in Iowa, and he got his law degree from Yale. He is African-American. He was appointed to the bench in 1985 by President Reagan, and he's very thorough and methodical.
And who were the compelling witnesses in this case?
The star witness for the government was a confessed Klansman named Charles Marcus Edwards. He had known Mr. Seal basically all of their lives. They grew up in the same very rural area. And Mr. Edwards was granted immunity from prosecution. He testified that he and Mr. Seal both took part in these deadly attacks, and he gave lots of details, and he named some names.
You know, it's been a situation where a lot of murders or deaths from the past have turned into convictions for older men. What does the community think about a case like this?
There are a lot of people who think that really they should just let bygones be bygones and let these old men just go on about their lives. But there are a whole lot of other people who think that it's never too late to pursue justice in cases like this.
Speaking of justice, what do you see as the possible outcomes in terms of prison? What's on the table for this man?
He faces up to life in prison for each of these three counts that he was convicted on. And, you know, it's really anybody's guess how the judge will sentence him. But I think a lot of people would be surprised if he got anything less than life.
How significant would a strong sentence be in this case?
I think that it would be very significant if he got life in prison. I think it would send the message that, like the families were saying yesterday, it's never too late to pursue justice. And I feel like, of course, the victims' families would think that the strongest sentence would be very appropriate.
Is there a timeline from here on out in terms of him proceeding to the sentencing phase? And do you know if his lawyers are planning to appeal?
They will appeal, and the sentencing is August 24th.
Emily, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Emily Wagster-Pettis is a reporter for the Associated Press. She joined us by phone from Jackson, Mississippi.